عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're going to discuss and reflect on Surah Hud, ayah number 7 tonight, inshallah. And then we will resume after Muharram. So Muharram begins next Thursday. It's going to be the first night of Muharram. And the first program is going to be here on Thursday, inshallah, beginning 7 p.m. with the Salat, the prayers, Salat al-Maghrib and Isha, and followed by Quranic recitation. And every night, one of the young generation leaders is going to speak, the youth, for 5 minutes. And then, inshallah, the main speaker, Sayyid Ja'far al-Qazwini, inshallah, is going to be with us from Karbala, Iraq, inshallah. For 11 nights, the day of Ashura is going to be Sunday, October 1st. So that night in the evening is going to be the end of the program, inshallah ta'ala. And our nation is reeling from the devastating effect of the tornadoes in Texas and Florida. So hurricanes, of Texas and Florida, they are very devastating. They, in Texas, they estimated the damage at $180 billion. In the state of Florida, it's much worse than that. It could top probably $300 billion. So we have to help. We have to help financially and spiritually. Financially, we collect as we did with the hurricane in Texas. We collected funds and we sent it to them. You can either send your donation directly to the Red Cross and other agencies, or you can give it to the masjid. We collect the amount and we send it to them, inshallah. So we need to help. We need to stand with others. We need to stand with all humans, whether they are Americans or non-Americans. At the time of these tragedies, we must show solidarity and affection with those people. Many of them, they lost everything they own. Everything. Everything. Nothing has been left for them. So this is a big trial and test, imtihan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to do whatever we can afford to stand with those people who have been affected in a very bad way by these hurricanes and natural disasters, beside our dua for them, our prayers for them, so Allah will help them and save them and enable them to go back and stand on their feet and restore their properties, their homes, their businesses, their farms. Also, we have to help financially. So if you'd like to help, give the money or the check to Haj Samir Amiri and state where do you want to send this money, whether to Texas or Florida. And after a period of time, when we collect some amount, we will, inshallah, add to it, and we will send it, inshallah, ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. آية نمبر 7 سورة هود عليه السلام. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وهو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في 6 أيام وكان عرشه على الماء ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. ولئن قلت إنكم مبعوثون من بعد الموت ليقولن الذين كفروا إن هذا إلا سحر مبين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. It is He, the Lord, who created the heaven and the earth in 6 days. 7 times throughout this book in the Holy Quran, Allah mentions the creation of the heaven and the earth in 6 days. 7 times in this book. This is one of them in Surah Hud. What is meant by a day? Today, science says this is wrong. It took billions of years to create the heaven, the galaxies, the plants, the stars, the earth. It took billions of years. They are not days. So how come the book says 6 days? A day, my friends, in the Quran, in the Islamic terminology, whether the Quran or the Hadith, a day does not mean 24 hours. Allah says in the Quran, في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة, in Surah Al-Ma'arij. When Allah speaks about the Day of Judgment, He gives an example, a parable, a metaphor. He says that day is so long, a day which is so long. It's not 24 hours. 50,000 سنة, 50,000 years. وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. In another place, God says, one day with your Lord there is equal to 1,000 year with you. So the day is not 24 hours. The day in the Quran means a period of time, a period of time, a cycle, if you will, or a stage, a stage. It's not 24 hours because at that time there were no sun and no rotation of the earth around the sun to have the day and the night, to have a 24 hours. So the day is not a 24 hours. When Allah says yawm, yawm is a day, but it's not 24 hours. It could be millions, rather billions of years. So in 6 days means in 6 stages, in 6 cycles, in 6 different consecutive periods. And this is exactly what the science speaks about today. They say the creation of the universe was made in 6 stages. They support what God says in the Quran and also in the book of Genesis, by the way. In the Torah, in the book of Genesis, also there is a reference to the creation of the heaven and the earth in 6 days. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامِ. Amir al-Mu'mineen also has an interesting hadith saying, he says, الدَّهْرُ يَوْمَانِ إِمَّا يَوْمٌ لَكَ وَيَوْمٌ عَلَيْكَ. This life that you live in, it has good days and bad days. Some of these days, they work for you. You become excited. You become happy. You become successful. Some of these days are day of joy and happiness because either you make money, you graduate from school, you get, you know, married. Some people, even when they get divorced, they become happy, believe me. I've seen it here. When they come to the masjid and we declare their divorce, alhamdulillah, this is a day of firework for us. So some days are good days for us because we achieve something, either spiritual, material, whatever. Some days are bad days for us. We consider them to be bad. Maybe we fail in that day. Maybe we trample. Maybe we lose something. Maybe we lose someone, a dear one. So الدَّهْرُ يَوْمَان, don't be surprised. You have to be prepared. This life has 2 days, يَوْمَان. يَوْمٌ لَكْ, a day would work for you, وَيَوْمٌ عَلَيْكْ, a day would go against you. Be prepared. So the يَوْم does not mean 24 hours. It could be many days, many years. يَوْم in the Islamic literature is not 24 hours. It could be much more, much bigger than 24 hours. Now the question, the second question, why did God, who is all powerful, omnipotent, full of energy and power, قدرة, he can do anything, anytime, why he made it in 6 stages? Couldn't he create the heaven and the earth in 1 stage, in 1 second? Why it took him billions of years to create the world of existence? عالم الوجود. This is called world of existence. Why it took him billions of years? Why 6 stages? Why did he say, he could have said, I created the heaven and the earth instantly. كن فيكون. I say to it be, and it would be created. The reason for that? Because there are details in this universe. And these details, yes, it takes time. And Allah wants to send a message to you and me, saying that every work you do, every project you pursue, has to be done gradually, with care, with attention. Nothing is made so fast. Even the meal that you eat. Why these fast food restaurants are not healthy? Because they are fast food. If they are slow food, they cook it, cook the food slowly, then it would be healthy. Why there are 2 restaurants next to each other? One of them is fast food. The sandwich costs you $5. The second one sells the same amount of food for $25. Because this one is fast. When you do it fast, you are not paying attention to the details. You are making it fast. Anything that happens fast would not be perfected. Allah says, I want you to be patient. Any project you pursue, anything you do, it takes time. Be patient. The baby, how long it takes for the baby to grow in his mother's womb? 9 months. Why not 9 days? God can make it 9 days, or 5 days, or 3 days. But he said no. They need to go through these stages. Stages of a creation. Stages of a growth. Stages of development. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ. Because of these seven stages, ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. He did a great job. Our God did a تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ. Glory to God. Because of His perfection. Because it took stages. It took time. It took time. Anything in this universe, if you want to build anything good and perfect, you have to be patient. You have to be patient. You have to wait. You can't rush. How many years we send our kids to the school? To the school, 12 years. To college, 4 years. To whatever. They spend 17, 18, 20 years of studying. Then they start the stage of giving, producing, production, returning. But they have to spend 20 years studying. Preparing themselves, preparing their mind, their brain for the future. If it happens in 1 year, it would fail. It would fail. I know some People come to me, they say, I'd like to go to the seminary to study in Najaf. They go, they spend three months only in Najaf, he comes back, Ayatollah al-Udhma. He's the greatest scholar in 3 months. Believe me, this is like fast food restaurants. This is why they fail in their mission. They fail. They fail. They cannot nurture societies. They can't, you know, take care of an Islamic center or mosque. Because he spent only 3 months. He wants to learn everything in 3 months. Doesn't happen. You need to be patient. Takes time. It's a gradual, step by step, step by step. This is a lesson. God, who is all might and power, it took him 6 stages to create the universe. Do you want to skip these stages and do you want to make everything perfect without being patient? Does not happen. That does not happen. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Arsh is the throne. It's a metaphor. It's not physical. This is does not have a physical meaning, material meaning. Arsh in Arabic is the throne of the king. In the Quran, when the Arsh is referred to God, it is a metaphor. It is a spiritual being, not material, not physical. It is a reference to God's power and God's authority and God's control. So he has full control. When we say the king sits on his throne, this is a metaphor. It means the king is in control of his kingdom. He's in charge, in full charge, full control. The throne of God is not physical. Though some Muslims, follow me on this, listen to what I say. Some Muslims believe that God has a physical throne. Some madahib in Islam, philosophical madahib, but they are wrong. They are wrong. God does not have a physical throne, neither a physical place or house or position. God, even the Kaaba where people go to visit and worship there, it's not the real residence of God. This is a metaphor. God put something on earth symbolic so people can gather around it. Doesn't mean God is inside that house. He's not inside it. It's a normal house made of bricks. Sometimes a tyrant goes inside that house. The tyrant. Someone corrupt goes inside the house to wash it, to clean it. This is not the house of God. The real house of God is your heart here. قَلْبُكَ حَرَمُ اللَّهِ قَلْبُكَ. God lives in your heart. He doesn't have a place in Mecca or Medina or Paris or London or LA. He's everywhere. So the throne is a metaphor. Metaphor of his control, of his power, of his authority, of his care and protection. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Why عَلَى الْمَاءِ, upon water? What does it mean? While he created the heaven and the earth, they were taking a place at the stage of a creation. His throne and his authority was upon water. Why did he say upon water? What does that mean? Is it physical? This is physical meaning? No. Doesn't have physical connotation. كَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. It means the day when this universe started to become material, the day of establishment, the day of beginning, the day of Big Bang, as they say, what was the universe at that time? What was it? What was it? You studied this. It was masses of gas, liquid. And these masses of hydrogen, there was an explosion within them. So the origin of this universe, was made of gas. It was gas at that time. Huge mass of gas. And there is a reference in the Quran to this. ثم استوى إلى السماء وهي دخان فقال لها وللأرض ائتيا طوعا أو كرها قالتا أتينا طائعين. It was a smoke, it was gas. In the beginning, this universe was nothing, no plants, nothing physical. It was gas, hydrogen. Dukhan, smoke. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this liquid, this gas. What does he say? وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. The genesis of everything in this universe comes from liquid. Comes from liquid. And that is scientific fact that science discovered many hundreds of years after the Quran. After the Quran declared that, hundreds of years after that, science came and they spoke about the Big Bang theory and how this universe came into being. Alam al-wujud was established. How this world of existence was established. So, kana arshuhu ala al-ma, his authority at that time, the universe was based on gas, ma, liquid. And then it became what it became now. This is a huge universe. وهو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام وكان عرشه على الماء. There is arsh and there is kursi. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 255, Ayat Al-Kursi. وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض. What is the difference between arsh and between kursi? Both of them are seat. If you translate that into Arabic, it's the seat. But sometimes he refers to this seat as arsh, throne, and sometimes as chair, kursi. What is the difference between them? Are they the same exactly, but the Quran is using different words, or they are not the same? There is a difference between them. Guess. Can you tell me? What's the difference between Arsh and Kursi? Yes, these are names, but what is the difference between them? What is the difference between a throne and chair? Couldn't he always say, why didn't he say always Arsh or always Kursi? But sometimes he uses the term Arsh, throne, and sometimes Kursi, chair. There is a difference, definitely. If there is no difference, God would not change the terms. Kursi, my friends, both of them are reference to God's power and authority. Both, Arsh and Kursi, both they refer to God's ability, power, authority, control, sultah. The Kursi is a reference to the material being. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ as a material. The earth and the heaven as a material, physical. While Arsh is a reference to metaphysical. عَالَمُ فَوْقِ الْمَادِ. What is above material, metaphysical, spiritual. It's a reference to the spiritual. Kursi is reference to the material, things that we see, or us, human being. But there is something bigger than what we see. Things that we don't see, unseen, ghaib. Such as what? Give me an example of ghaib. Things that they exist but we don't see. Angels. Or jinn. Alamul jinn. Spirits. Angels. So the throne is a reference to what is metaphysical. Bigger than kursi. That is the difference between kursi and arsh. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. All this creation is for one reason. Why did he create me, the heaven, the earth? Why this vast universe? what he has in his mind. Why did he do this? For one reason. The reason has been mentioned many times in the Quran, many times, in many chapters. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. To try you, to test you, to test you and try you. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That he may try you as to which of you is most virtuous in deeds. Most virtuous, not just virtuous. God says, I want the most virtuous. It's like you when you tell your son and daughter who work very hard, who go to school. They tell them, "I, when you come back from school, I would not be happy with C and B, neither A. I would not accept less than A plus. Because I spend my time on you, my effort, my money, my energy, my soul. Therefore, the return has to be the top, A plus. I don't accept less than A plus. God is saying this to all of us. I put you here. I gave you everything, intelligence, brain, sustenance, health, knowledge. I need you to make it A plus, no less than A plus. The most virtuous. أيكم أحسن عملا وليس أيكم عملا. No, not just عمل. I need the best عمل. من بهترین کار را از شما توقع دارم. نه فقط کار. بهترین کار. أحسن عمل. Therefore you have to strive. Therefore this ayah says there is no room for those who are lazy. Those who are tembel and lazy and they don't want to work and they waste their time, they can't survive. God is not going to be happy with them because you are full of energy, but you don't know about yourself. You are full of energy. You are full of potential. You can change many lives. You can save many lives. You can achieve many goals. So God is expecting the best. Not just any work, the best. God is concerned about quality. The quality has to be the best. أيكم ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عمل. Therefore, bala, my friends, bala, which is a trials and tribulations, test, these are an inherent part of a human nature. It's embedded in you. Some people ask, why God chose me? I have a problem with my husband, with my business, with my health, with my son. Why God chose me to do this? I have a problem with my income. This is part of who you are. This is part of you being human, having a human nature. These trials, they are an inherent part of a human nature. And they are a necessary part of people's journey in this life. Your journey is not going to be completed and perfected if you don't go through trials and tribulations. Not just you, every single creation, every single individual in this life has to go through trials and tribulations. A friend of mine sent me yesterday a clip of his house in Houston. I've been to that house. It's a very affluent neighborhood in Houston. He works in the oil industry there. One night, he hosted me in his house. He sent me a clip of his house. The water has reached 6 feet during the hurricane. And it could cost him more than $100,000. He lost all his furniture downstairs. Maybe the insurance would pay for him, but that is devastating, believe me. Try to have a remodeling in your house, remodel the kitchen, remodel the bedroom, and see how much you suffer. You have to leave the house, you have to live in the hotel, you have to, you know, it's not easy. These are trials and tribulations. If you say to God, "Oh God, why do you do this to me? You hate me." You are not going to succeed. You have to be bigger than these things. You have to have the power to absorb these things. Now, at least he has a house. Look at the Keys in Florida. People lost everything. There is not even a single wall that survived. But God will give you the ability to rebuild because you have a trust in Him. Because you are a human, you are not animals. You are a human. You can renew your life. You can begin from zero. So these trials and tribulations are necessary for our growth and development. If we know how to handle them, if we know the correct response, we will succeed. But if we have the wrong response, we will fail. We will fail. It depends on what you say at the time of a tragedy. If you say, "Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, there are people who are worse than me. God will help me again. This is material. If I lost this or lost that, it's not important. I don't lose my faith." But if you complain, you are going to devastate yourself further. So these trials, masa'ib, these trials and tribulations, they strengthen our spirituality. And they definitely improve our character. Definitely. You're going to learn something out of them. They're going to increase your faith and your trust in God. They're going to get you closer to God. I know some people who lost their homes, they lost their businesses, they lost their life, they lost their income, they lost their saving, but they got closer to God. They say, I had this house, this business, this car, this jewelry, I didn't pay attention to God. These things, material things, took me away from God. I didn't have time to focus on God. But now that I lost them and I submit to God, I accept al-qada wal-qadr. I accept this divine decree and I thank God for that. Al-ridha bil-qada wal-qadr. Ridha. Al-ridha. To consent. To be happy with God has chosen for you. Then I realize that these materials, they took me away from God. They kept me busy. I didn't have time to focus on God. Now I am happy that I no longer have these things. I have God instead. This is real faith. This is real iman. One of the best du'as that we must always say, Allahumma, Allahumma rzuqni hubbak, wa hubba man yuhibbuk, wa hubba ma yuqarribuni ilayk. Oh God, bestow on me, gift me, your love and the love of those who love you. Because those who love you are going to be good and safe. They are going to be moral being, virtuous being. I'm not going to feel, unsafe with them. Someone who loves God, believe me, he's going to be your best friend. He's not going to hurt you. But someone who does not love God, he's the most dangerous. Stay away from those who don't love God. Stay away from them. They're going to betray you. They're going to backstab you one day. Stay away from them. Allahumma arzuqni hubbak. Bestow on me your love. Wa hubba man yuhibbuk. And those who love you, make me love them and be close to them. And thirdly, wa hubba ma yuqarribuni ilayk. Everything that gets me closer to you. Even if I lose something material. If I lose this thing, and in that there is benefit, and there is nearness to you, make me lose it. I don't want it. I don't want to keep something that keeps me away from you. Apple launched their new product yesterday, the day before yesterday. And you know how many friends I saw them? They say, we're going to buy iPhone X, iPhone 8, iPhone 8 Plus, whatever. Do you know that these things, they keep us away from God? Believe me. These material things, whether it is iPhone, whether it is new house, new furniture, a new car, jewelry, wedding gown, these things, they keep us away from God. If we don't use them wisely, they keep us away from God. If we get attached to them, I always say there is difference between love and attachment. Love is good, attachment is not good. Love is good. To like something is good. I like my iPhone because it helps me, but I'm not attached to it. If I get attached to it, it becomes dangerous. It takes me away from God. It makes me addicted to it. It makes me unable to survive without it, or without my car, or without my house, or without my business, or without my jewelry. It makes me addicted to it. We have to survive on only one thing, on God. We use these, we utilize them, but we don't get attached to them. There is difference between hope, when you like something, and between attachment to it. Some people are happy with material items. They keep themselves happy because of material items. But others, there are others who are happy with the spiritual items, such as what? When they help someone, when they save someone's honor, someone's dignity, someone's life, when they save, when they provide, when they help the orphans, they become excited. When they shelter homeless, someone homeless, they become excited. When they give medicine to someone, deliver medicine to someone who's in need, who's sick and he needs this medicine, he cannot afford it, they deliver to him, they get excited. These are spiritual values. These are the things that builds us and makes us real human being. When we try to help, when we try to save, when we feed people, sometimes we feed them physically with food, which is necessary and good, and sometimes we feed them mentally and spiritually with hidayah, with guidance. These things we should anticipate and love and get excited about them, not the materials, believe me, not the materials. These materials, they takes us away, they take us away from God. I learned something new in my recent visit to Karbala. I share this with you because you are my family, close to me. I purchased a grave, and I'm so excited about it, believe me. As if I purchased a skyscraper in Manhattan, you know. Believe me. I'm excited about this because I know this is my home. Whether I like it or not, this is my home. This is my resting place. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Death is coming to me. No matter how long we wait and they put us on waiting list, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ. God says to the Prophet, you are dead. He uses the term. He does not say to him, إِنَّكَ سَتَمُوتُ. You will die. He says, no, ya Muhammad, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ. Meaning that this is no argument about it, no hesitation. You will die. You are dead. وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. We all are going to die. So we need this place. Some people say if you purchase a grave, it makes you unhappy, depressed, sad. No, no, no. On the contrary, it makes me the happiest. Because I know this is my resting place and I have to work for it. To fill it with goodness. It gives me more motivation to work harder in this life. To furnish my grave. You know, some people, they work hard in this country because they want to build a house back home. They want to build the best house, their dream house, to put the best furniture in that house. They work very hard. The real house is the grave. We have to work harder for it. It becomes an incentive for us to work harder, to be more sincere. Because this is our future. This is a reality. When you love the grave, you're going to do good, believe me. You are not going to hurt people. You are not going to abuse anyone. You are going to be just. You are going to be helpful. You are going to be forgiving. You are going to be caring. You are not going to be a dangerous person. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. The Quran concludes by saying, and I will conclude too, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَلَئِنْ قُلْتَ إِنَّكُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Ya Rasulullah, as soon as you go to Quraysh, those arrogant people who have a pride and arrogance and vanity and conceit, and you tell them, listen, you're going to be resurrected after death. Death is not the end. There is another life. You're going to be held accountable for what you say and what you do in this life. Their answer is going to be, لَيَقُولُنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Those disbelievers, they're going to say to you one thing. In هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. What you are telling us, Muhammad, we don't believe in it. This is a sheer, manifest sorcery. Sihrun mubin. Why? Because when someone has arrogance in his mind, in his head, he's not going to accept the truth. He's going to reject the truth. Though the truth is very obvious, but he or she are not going to accept it. They're going to blame you and say, what you tell us is a sheer sorcery. Sihrun mubin. Allahumma akhbar lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Tabi' Allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat. Innaka mujibud da'awat, innaka ghafirul khati'at, innaka mahis sayyi'at wa ja'iluha hasanat. Raise your hand, let's recite amman yujibul muftar for many of the friends, all the people around the world who are suffering. Today, 74 people were killed in Iraq, in Nasiriyah, in a double bombing, suicide bombing by ISIS. 74 people were killed today. So there are tragedies everywhere. We have to pray for the mu'mineen, for the mu'minat, and we have to sincerely pray for the return of our Imam, our Savior. الإمام صاحب العصر والزمان. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. 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 يا الله اللهم من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية. داوي مرضانا وجرحانا وفك أسرانا وتقبل أعمالنا واغفر ذنوبنا. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. واجعلنا اللهم من خدامه وأنصاره والمستشهدين بين يديه، وعجل اللهم في فرجه. وإلى أرواح الشهداء، شهداء العراق وشهداء لبنان وفلسطين وأفغانستان والخليج، إلى أرواحهم جميعا ثواب الفاتحة مع وسوريا، إلى أرواحهم جميعا ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.